And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is 4:35 in the Anchorage Bowl. What a lovely afternoon outside. We've got a special treat for you this segment. We are joined in the studio, as we are just about every Friday, by Senator Johnny Ellis. Senator Ellis, you're fresh off the plane from Juneau.
I just flew in, and I understand you had a great time last week with Senator Hollis French.
Yeah, we always have a great time with Hollis French. One of the least reticent politicians I've ever met in my life. Never short for words, Senator French.
A tall fellow.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he told us all about it.
We were all saying, ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for French.
We are also joined on the line right now via telephone from her home in Juneau by Representative Beth Curtula. Representative Curtula, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for taking time out of your schedule to join us today.
Sure.
All right. 929-5160 is the telephone number if you'd like to get involved, if you've got a question or comment for your state legislators. And now I want to talk about the last week in version 2.0 of the not-so-special session, and we can talk, version 3.0.
It's the third not-so-special session.
Oh, man, I got confused there for a
second. There was one last year for Ben Stevens and Frank Murkowski to mess over public employees and teachers.
All right.
And injured workers. That was the first special session of the 24th Alaska Legislature. This is the second special session on oil and gas issues, or the third special session this legislature.
I get them all confused. You probably do sometimes as well.
Every once in a while, we wake up and think it's a bad dream with Frank Murkowski in the Republican legislature.
And as time goes on, it gets less and less special, I would imagine.
That's true. The humor tends to diminish.
Oh, that's just sad. I want to get to that and get to the debate on oil and gas taxes and the gas pipeline and the extra helpings of seconds that Governor Murkowski put on your plate at the last minute as well. Before we do that, though, I would like to talk about ballot measure 2. This is going to be on the August 22nd primary ballot. And for those of you out there listening to the show, if you're not so keyed in on the August 22nd primary, if you live in a district where there's not a real heated race going on, you're not worried about it, there's two very, very good reasons for you to get out and vote on that day. One of them, ballot measure 1, ballot measure put together, sponsored by Steve Cleary, our good friend over at ACPIRG, Alaska Public Interest Research Group, Campaign Finance Reform. Ballot measure 2, this is the cruise ship initiative. Now, Representative Curtula, I know you were instrumental a few years ago in tightening environmental regulations for the cruise ship industry. Can you explain to us what this ballot measure does? If it goes too far, some folks are saying that, and if you think it's a good piece of legislation.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Right, well, how this all started is in 1999, Alaska became the first state to successfully federally prosecute the cruise industry for illegal dumping. The then U.S. Attorney Bob Bundy proved the case that Royal Caribbean had actually retrofitted their ships so that they could dump illegally. So following that, Congress and then the state passed the most stringent anti-dumping laws in the world. Maybe Sydney, Australia had a slightly better system because they had offshore required that all dumping be, done rather onshore. But next to that, Alaska led the world, and we really subsequently have been instrumental in helping other states and countries to do it better with the cruise industry. But even with a good system, and ours is a good system, there were some really notable holes in the system. One of them was that we didn't have an overall system of taxation. I mean, remember, this is a worldwide industry. They're foreign-flagged ships, and they pay no income tax to the United States or to states. So one of the things that we had a major battle about was whether or not the industry should be taxed by Alaska. And many of us felt that it should be, including then-Senate President Rick Halford, who was really also sort of the unsung hero in this bill, the original bill. But we could get the environmental protection to a certain level, but we couldn't get the tax passed the legislature when the initial bill went through. So that's always been a hole in our system, and it's been something But then what happened was, town by town, the coastal communities tried to get head taxes because mm-hmm. there's a huge impact from the industry on our little towns. Not just pollution, but for instance, my cell phone won't pick up calls today. It just won't happen because there are so many cruise industry visitors in town that they all bump the cell phone calls.
Really? They clog up all the
right,
cell phone lines?
Cell phone lines are clogged.
Even in a big city like Juneau?
Yeah, well, there are only 30,000 people. We get over 1 million visitors every year.
Wow.
So that happens. Also, maybe worse than that, is that we've been having a lot of incidents of norovirus in town, a lot of extra flu season for Juneau. So, and our hospital feels the impact. So anyway, there are definitely impacts. And Juneau mm-hmm. has a $5 a person head tax. But the other communities that have tried to get these head taxes have really had the industry come down hard on them and threaten them and in some cases pull out and go to other places. So it's an attempt to even so that the communities that are impacted do receive money from the industry, which will then have to go right back into things that relate to the industry. That's federal and case law. So they'll have to make it better for the industry as well through that money, but they'll also be able to use it on things that impact them. It'll plug the hole with the tax that way. It'll also go a step further to require permits from the state. Right now, we don't actually require a permit. It'll strengthen the anti-pollution laws by making them meet the same standards as any other industry that discharging would have to meet.
I want to clear this up because I've heard this. I want to know if this is true or not. As far as the environmental regulations, I've heard from some folks that all that this ballot measure two is doing is holding the cruise ship lines accountable to the same environmental regulations that commercial fishermen in Alaska are held to. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's just basically the same water quality standards. It'd be something that, you know, any processor would have to meet, that's for sure.
How do commercial fishermen, especially in Southeast Alaska, feel about this, about the cruise ship industry?
Well, the one endorsement I've seen on the website for the main group that's sponsoring the initiative is supportive from a fishing group.
Okay.
And I would assume that they'd pretty much all be supportive because this is the water that our fish are in. So, you know, pretty much fishermen were very supportive of the original legislation. This isn't a huge deal, a huge step for the pollution laws, but there's always been one part of the pollution laws that has worried me, and that is we dealt with water quality mainly. We dealt with what we call gray water, black water, and sewage. But there was never really, we originally started out with a very long list of things that would have to be reported, and that didn't get in the final bill. So I've always had that little bit of worry or concern about some of the things. For instance, when the ships have large photo processing plants and hair salons on board, and there are some, you know, pretty toxic things that get used in those two processes, mm-hmm. and those things we didn't really cover. So that's something that would be good to have absolute control over.
What about this part of this? And again, this ballot measure is multifaceted. You've got a $50 head tax. You've also got a provision that calls for Alaska getting a share of gambling that goes on the cruise ships. We also have heard about this thing, and there seems to be some confusion over whether this is already Alaska law, but cruise ships make deals with onshore vendors of trips and excursions, kayaking, hiking, etc., and they basically are advertising, promoting to the passengers on these ships these tours and things.
Right.
But what they don't tell the passengers is that they have received a kickback or received money from these particular tour operators. And there seems to be some confusion over whether that's already a law that they're breaking. We have to take a short break here, but Representative Kurtula, I'd like you to address that on the other side. Senator Johnny Ellis, our guest in the studio. Representative Beth Kurtula, our guest, live on the phone from her home in Juneau. This is the Aaron Selbig Show, 929-5160. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, we'll be right back.
Can you believe this weather? Looks like summer's arrived a little late, huh? But with the sunshine and warm soil, here's a great tip for you from Bell's Nurseries. This is the time to begin planting those things that'll need a good start to be beautiful next year. For instance, all the trees and shrubs in Bell's Big Nurseries are sale priced at 60% off this weekend. So, this weekend you can add real value and beauty to your home and save money at the same time. Plant them now, they'll have a great head start on next year. Plus, all remaining hanging baskets and annuals are 60% off too. So you can fill in any empty spots in your garden. The weekend gets off to a great start Thursday with a garden art show at Specking Road from 4 to 7 p.m. Meet the artists and admire their work. And on Saturday, remember that Jeff Lowenfeld's Garden Party radio program is broadcast from the Specking Store from 10 to noon. Come watch Jeff do his thing. It's always a fun time. And while you're here, check out the gift shop. Lots of fall and holiday merchandise arriving daily. Better take a look to see if there's something you just can't resist. Bell's Nurseries on Specking Road off DeArmond, on Cranberry Road in Jewel Lake, and at DeArmond Greenery.
Herb, if I bring my fish to Alaska Sausage for smoking, will it all be the same, or are there different ways that you can smoke it?
There are lots of options for you. Most people are familiar with the kippered salmon and the cold smoked lox. But we also make smoked salmon strips and other special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. And halibut smokes up just wonderfully, too.
I'd like to send some smoked salmon to my relatives in the lower 48. Is this something you can help me do?
Of course we can. We can prepare your fish and ship it directly to your friends and relatives. And when they come to visit you, you'll prepare their fish and ship it home too.
I probably won't catch many fish this year. Can I still ship some outside to my family?
Absolutely. We have wonderful gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, or even a combination of smoked fish and our famous sausage links with reindeer meat. It's easy to send and very much appreciated.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard, 562-3636.
And tell them Herb sent you.
Facing charges by the state, looking at time.
Bail hearing, not today. No discovery? Why don't you just waive some time and stay in jail? Call me 20 or 30 times. I might think eventually about getting back to you. Maybe. Violate your trust, lack of respect. What's it to you? Is this what you want from your counsel? You know they think their time is valuable, but what's your time worth? Isn't it time you got an attorney that thinks your time is just as valuable? After all, you might be the one doing it. When you're ready for something to be done for you, rather than to you, call the law offices of Lance Christian Wells, 274-9696, 274-9696. Providing time-proven state and federal defense, Lance Christian Wells. Don't let your time run out.
Oh, this is a big, big week at Fine Flowers in Midtown next to Europa Bakery and Campobello Restaurant. And Sue and Rachel are celebrating Fine Flowers' 5th anniversary. Listen, if you don't have a florist you're 100% sold on, this is a great time to get acquainted with Fine Flowers. That's where my Rosie always sends me, always, because she says their arrangements are absolutely the best. Anyway, this week, Fine Flowers wants you to celebrate with us. So they're offering daily specials up to 50% off, daily drawings for gifts, and each purchase also gets a free gift. And each day they have free flowers to their early customers, plus they're giving you 10% off store-wide and all their great giftware and merchandise. Sure, it's a sale at Fine Flowers, but it's more. It's Fine Flowers' 5th birthday, and it's a party, a celebration, a veritable festival. They want to thank all their wonderful customers for their support, and they want to meet new people, too. So they've even extended their hours to include Sunday, noon to 4. Listen, stop by Fine Flowers today, get in on the fun, and I promise you, you'll meet the best florists in town. Fine Flowers, 601 West 36th Avenue, next to Europa Bakery, celebrating the 5th anniversary of this excellent family business.
Uh-oh. 4:49 in the Anchorage Bowl. It is a lovely afternoon in our fair city, and we have a special treat for you this segment. We're joined in the studio by Senator Johnny Ellis.
Hey, Aaron.
Whose arms are tired because he just flew in from Juneau.
Ba-dum-bum.
I'm sorry, that was your joke. And we're also joined on the line by Representative Beth Curtula, live from her home in Juneau. 929-5160 is our telephone number if you'd like to jump in on the conversation. We've been talking about Ballot Measure 2. Ballot Measure 2 is going to be on the August 22nd primary ballot. It is the cruise ship tax initiative, but there's a lot more to it than just taxation, a $50 a head tax on cruise ships. one of the aspects is going to clarify what may already be an existing law that requires disclosure when the cruise ships have a financial arrangement with onshore tour guides, folks that are offering tours, hikes, kayak adventures, things like that. The way it is now, the cruise ships will give all their passengers this information on what they can do when they go on shore. And imagine, folks, I mean, you're from Wichita, Kansas. You've never even heard of Haines, Alaska before, and you're given this brochure. You get off the boat. That's what you're going to do, and you don't even know that there's other opportunities out there. Some folks are saying that it's not fair. You might even be able to use the word extortion if you really wanted to. Representative Beth Curtula, what is the law say now, and will the ballot measure to clarify it? And more importantly, do you think this is a good idea? Is this something that the cruise ships should be held to?
Well, I mean, current law would obviously make extortion illegal, and I don't want to go that far because I don't know, you know, the facts around anything that would relate to that. But what I do know happens is that the cruise ships make pitches. They have people on board that you know, give shopping tips. They call them port and shopping talks throughout their cruise, and they hand out little pamphlets that list their guaranteed and recommended shopping places. And for instance, I've got one. We had friends that just came to visit us on a cruise from Holland America, and so Holland America says, see the reverse side of this program for the Holland America Line guaranteed and recommended shopping map. Be sure to carry this map with you ashore. It will save you valuable time and money while shopping ashore. And so then you look at the back and you see, here's the stores that they list: Diamonds International, Tanzanite International, Venetian Design Gallery, Genoa Jewelers, Del Sol, Goodmark Jewelers, Venetian Gemstone Showroom, Caribou Crossings, House of Russia, the Jewel Box, and Alaska Sheepskin Company. So there's 11 companies. One of those, I'm pretty sure, is locally owned. The rest of them, I'm pretty sure, are probably subsidiaries of the cruise industry itself. But moreover, the shops have to pay the cruise ships for this advertising. So that's how they get the advertising. So it's a kickback kind of a situation. I have friends that own a small store here downtown Juneau that have told me that they've had tourists off the cruise ship say, well, they were warned not to go to the small shops because, you know, they didn't know what the quality would be like and they couldn't be guaranteed of anything. So that's the effort, is simply to say in large type, in different color, that, you know, this is how much this place has had to pay to get advertised by the cruise industry. There is a tiny statement in really tiny print on the handout right now that mentions that the merchants listed advertise with the cruise line in order to promote shopping and that they've paid an advertising fee. But that's like really tiny, tiny print that I don't think anybody is really going to see.
Representative Beth Curtula joining us on the line from Juneau. We've also got Senator Johnny Ellis in the studio with us. We've got a caller online. It's Kristen, our Kenai connection from Anchor Point. Kristen's been waiting patiently. We have to take a break here. We'll come back with your calls if you'd like to jump in. 929-5160 is the number. I'm Aaron Selbig. We shall return.
Well, if you lived in Idaho and your friends and relatives came to visit, I guess you'd serve them potatoes, huh? I mean, that's what Idaho's famous for. But lucky for them and for you, you live in Alaska. So when friends and relatives come to visit, what do they want? They want what Alaska is famous for, giant Alaska king crab. And New Sagaya has it for you. Giant Alaska golden king crab, legs and claws, only the good stuff, $8.99 a pound. But at this low price, it'll be gone before the weekend's over. So don't disappoint your visitors by missing out. Here's some advice. Turn your car around, go right now, and head for the Seafood Department at New Sagaya and New Sagaya City Market. Another great buy in the fresh seafood department, whole cleaned and headed red salmon. We'll be happy to cut it into steaks or fillets for you, $4.99 a pound. At this price, get some for the freezer. Big, beautiful Harris Ranch New York steaks go wonderfully in the barbecue, especially at the New Sagaya and City Market price of just $9.99 a pound. Backyard barbecue this weekend. And in the produce department, sweet and juicy Temptation melons are special, 99 cents a pound. Want to know why they call them Temptation melons? Just get a taste and you'll get the picture. New Sagaya Midtown and City Market, 13th.
Herb, my friend and I were at a party recently, and the host served some smoked salmon strips. He told me Alaska Sausage smoked it for him. I didn't even know Alaska Sausage could do that with my salmon.
Yes, our smoked salmon strips are an excellent product. It's ready to eat right out of the package, and it's great for snacking, camping, and entertaining.
Herb, Alaska Sausage made some lemon-peppered smoked salmon for us last year. That was wonderful. Do you have other flavors as well?
Yes, there's lots of options. People like our kippered salmon and our cold smoked salmon lox, and we can add special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. But I also recommend smoking your halibut. It produces a moist product that is just wonderful.
Herb, we don't do much fishing, but I would love to send some outside for our friends. Can you do that for us?
Absolutely. We not only have gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, we can also mix in any combination of our famous Alaskan sausage with reindeer meat, or maybe bratwurst for our spicy Louisiana hot things.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard.
Just tell them Herb sent you.
Can you believe this weather? Looks like summer's arrived a little late, huh? But with the sunshine and warm soil, here's a great tip for you from Bell's Nurseries. This is the time to begin planting those things that'll need a good start to be beautiful next year. For instance, all the trees and shrubs in Bell's Big Nurseries are sale priced at 60% off this weekend. So, this weekend you can add real value and beauty to your home and save money at the same time. Plant them now, they'll have a great head start on next year. Plus, all remaining hanging baskets and annuals are 60% off too. So you can fill in any empty spots in your garden. Weekend gets off to a great start Thursday with a garden art show at Specking Road from 4 to 7 p.m. Meet the artists and admire their work. And on Saturday, remember that Jeff Lowenfeld's Garden Party radio program is broadcast from the Specking Store from 10 to noon. Come watch Jeff do his thing. It's always a fun time. And while you're here, check out the gift shop. Lots of fall and holiday merchandise arriving daily. Better take a look to see if there's something you just can't resist. Bell's Nurseries on Specking Road off DeArmond, on Cranberry Road in Jewel Lake, and at DeArmond Greenery.
.457 in the Anchorage Bowl. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Beth Curtula are guests. Senator Ellis, Representative Curtula, if you don't mind, let's go to the phones to line one and Kristen from Anchor Point, who's been waiting very, very patiently. Hi, Kristen.
Hey.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I intend to vote yes on that proposition. So. Mm-hmm. Because I know everything the cruise ship is saying is not even true.
Well, it's not the cruise ship.
I kind of wanted to get back to that other subject you were on about our Striker Force being kept over there.
Sure.
I think it's really time that since we're not allowed to debate getting out of Iraq, it's time that the country debate a universal draft. If we are going to be in these countries doing this stuff, it is time that everybody begin pulling their weight. And then this type of thing won't have to happen. They won't have to artificially extend people's tours of duty. They'll have more than enough people to cover.
Well, you know that Secretary Rumsfeld and President Bush have been resisting going there. They've been scared of the D word since day one, although their recruiting numbers in the Marine Corps and the Army are way, way down. As evidently, it's pretty hard to convince young high school boys to go over to Iraq these days.
That's why it's necessary that the states do the work. The state representatives get in there and call the federal representatives and say, look, you know, we don't like the recruiters coming into our schools and engaging in the type of things, the type of... Because they literally are lying to a lot of these young people about the military and what they're going to face if they go into the military. And we don't like our citizens being artificially kept overseas when they don't have to be. And if all the states start getting together and putting pressure on Congress, then Congress will do something.
Thank you very much, Kristen. We've only got less than a minute left. Senator Ellis, I'll put this to you real quick. Is there anything that the state legislature can do, a recommendation or anything? I know that we all feel for the families of the 172nd Striker Brigade. Anything we can do about this?
Well, I've attended national meetings with legislators and with governors who are very concerned about the use of the National Guard units from all across the country that have traditionally been used to deal with natural disasters, hurricanes and earthquakes, and those folks being shipped over to the Middle East. So there's a great deal of discontent at the state level in Republican and Democratic states about the use of the National Guard in the Middle East, because we really feel for those families. There's not much we can do beyond sending resolutions and letters and those sorts of things. I personally think we need to do something.
We've got to do something. We're going to break here for Air America News at the top of the hour.
Hi, I'm Aaron Selvig, and this is KUDO 1080 in Anchorage. Tune us in, keep us on, because without you, there is no KUDO.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. George Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair are calling for a multinational force to be sent to the Middle East, but the two leaders did not call for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will be returning to the Middle East tomorrow. She's now in Malaysia, where she's been attending a conference on Asian issues. Nearly every U.S. ally has called for a quick truce to end the bloodshed and the efforts to smooth needed humanitarian supplies into Lebanon. Secretary Rice says she agrees, but earlier she repeated her position. The Israelis and the Lebanese have to do the work of achieving a sustainable peace plan. The International Red Cross is appealing for more than $80 million in aid to help civilians in Lebanon. The charity says the effects of the fight between Israel and Hezbollah make life unbearably dangerous for civilians there. In addition, the group says access to water and basic services have been cut off. Medical evacuations and relief operations cannot keep up with the population's needs. One executive with the International Red Cross says damage to the infrastructure and economy, plus a large-scale displacement of civilians, requires an emergency response that may continue into next year. Israeli attacks today killed at least 3 people, wounding 9 in southern Lebanon. Warplanes hit 130 targets, including a Hezbollah base in the Bekaa Valley, where long-range missiles were stored. Despite a driving ban in Baghdad, Friday prayers again hit by violence. Police say a bomb planted between a Sunni mosque and a youth center in Baghdad exploded just as worshippers were leaving the services. 4 people were killed, 9 others wounded. Earlier, a rocket exploded in downtown Baghdad, injuring 3 people. Elsewhere in Iraq, a drive-by shooting into Crete killed 2 civilians employed by U.S. troops. Thousands of American soldiers who thought they would be leaving Iraq soon will not be heading home when they originally planned to. Defense Department officials say commanders are now coming up with plans to move as many as 5,000 U.S. troops with heavy armor into Baghdad as the violence continues surging there. Part of their plan involves keeping some 3,500 members of the 172nd Striker Brigade combat team in Iraq. They've been serving in northern Iraq and were scheduled to leave soon, but now most of the 3,900 troops will apparently serve up to 4 more months in Iraq. This is Air America Radio News.
I'm Rich McClear with a KUDO commentary. While I've gotten a chance to look over the papers filed by the Democrats and the Division of Elections in the dispute over whether they should release the central tabulator files from the Diebold voting machines, you know, those are the tabulator files that showed that some districts had a 200% voter turnout in the last election. Seems pretty simple to me. If we want to have trust in our election system, we ought to know why the numbers came out so screwy. But the state has a new excuse. That excuse, security. That's right, they're invoking a security law passed after 9/11 in saying that the information the Democrats seek is not a public record because it's covered under the security exemption of the Public Records Act. In papers filed in reply, the Democratic Party said that the voter records it seeks are public records and have nothing to do with the security exemption of the public records law passed after 9/11. The Democratic Party says there's no security issue with releasing the database because its structure's already available on the Internet. It's not requesting passwords or secret phone numbers. It just wants the central tabulator file. Nothing we've asked for compromises security, said Democratic Party Chair Jake Metcalf. We are asking the court to release these public records so the people of Alaska can be assured their votes were counted correctly. Invoking a post-9/11 security law to keep us from knowing why our votes don't add up is just plain wrong. The Democrats asked for this information in December. Next Wednesday, a Superior Court judge is going to set a date for a hearing on this case. Looks like we're not going to know why the results were so screwy before we vote again on the 22nd of August. And that, too, is just plain wrong. For KUDO, I'm Rich McClear.
Don Olson is an experienced candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Medical doctor, bush pilot, businessman, senator. Whether caring for the sick, flying passengers, or working on the challenges facing our state, Don Olson has the ideals, rugged individualism, and strong work ethic that defines the Alaskan spirit. Vote Donald Olson for Lieutenant Governor on the August 22nd Democrat ballot.
Paid for by Alaskans for Don Olson, Box 241, 248, Anchorage.
Mountain Mechanical's Winter Startup Special is a complete inspection of your residential heating system for just $39.95. Mountain Mechanical's friendly experts will make sure your heater is safe and working great for the upcoming heating season. Mountain Mechanical has been doing its $39.95 preseason checkups now for 10 years, and no other plumbing and heating company has ever come close to matching or beating our price. Why do you ask? Simple. They all know our commitment to providing reliable heat to the public for the best price possible. If gas goes over $5 per gallon, Mountain Mechanical will still be doing its winter startup special for $39.95. When the polar ice cap melts and Alaska needs air conditioning, Mountain Mechanical will be doing your preseason checkup on your air conditioner for $39.95. If you're wondering how much you paid for last year's checkup or the year before and you didn't use Mountain Mechanical, you can be absolutely sure you paid more than $39.95. Call 344-0700 to schedule your appointment. That's always on call. Mountain Mechanical, your plumbing and heating specialist. 344-0700.
Catch all the excitement of Yankee baseball every weekend here on Kudo 1080. And go to Allen and Peterson Cooking and Appliance Center at Benson and Seward. Register to win a trip to New York this August to watch the Yankees host the Angels. Love them or hate them, the Yankees are always contenders, and Yankee Stadium is always filled with excitement. Stop by Allen and Peterson across from Sears to register. You could be in Yankee Stadium this August.
Kudo 1080 weather is calling for increasing clouds, lows in the low to mid-50s tonight with light winds. Tomorrow will also be cloudy with isolated showers, highs in the upper 60s to mid-70s and light winds. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, isolated showers in the evenings, low in the 50s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the mid-60s to low 70s with light winds. Numerous showers Sunday night. A little damper than we'd wish, but I hope it's a good weekend for you anyway.
p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl. Strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for hour two of the Aaron Selbig Show. You're locked into KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. This hour, we continue on with our conversation with Senator Johnny Ellis, who joins us in the studio, and Representative Beth Curtula, who we've got live via telephone from her home in Juneau. Our studio line, 929-5160. If you'd like to jump in on the conversation, we love you. We love your calls. All right, Senator Ellis, Representative Curtula, let's get oily and gassy.
Aaron, before we do that, though, can I just say it's an honor to be on the radio with Representative Curtula. She's been a legislative hero of mine, and back on the bill that she passed, you know, she was being very modest about herself. She's actually called on to be a consultant to other states, other governments, in cruise ship regulation, pollution regulation. A fine political family. Senator Jay Curtula was a state senator for nearly 30 years up in the Matsu Valley, and really helped save the state in the post-Exxon Valdez legislation on tanker safety and oil spill response. So it's just a great family of public servants, and I'm proud to serve with her.
Nice. When we have an argument, I'm going to remind you of that.
Absolutely. call in that chit when you need to, yeah. Beth.
We've got it recorded, Representative Curtula. So if you need it, we'll send you a CD.
I'd like to say one real quick thing, too.
Sure.
Obviously, wonderful to have served with John. But also, you know, I just want to be clear that I like the cruise industry. You know, it's done wonderful things for our state and for Southeast Alaska. It's brought lots of great people to our state. So it isn't anti-industry. It's just really seeing what's right for the state. And this is not going to hurt this industry. This is a huge industry. People can afford to pay just a little bit more to be sure that our waters are protected and that the towns get what we need. I mean, we pay a lot of sales tax here in Juneau, and the industry can afford to have its visitors pay us so that we can take care of them right.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of advertising. You know, this is becoming a pet peeve of mine. All of these front organizations, like Alaska's Future, and now it's this Alaskans Protecting Our Economy, groups that if you follow the money trail, they're just supported by big industry, whether it's big oil or the cruise ship industry. And in both cases, they're trying to convince us that if we ask for what's ours, if we demand what's ours, or we demand that the cruise ship industry be held to the same environmental standards as commercial fishermen, that they're going to have to pull up stakes and leave, that it's going to be disastrous for our economy, and it's just totally disingenuous.
And Aaron, folks should watch out. It's the cruise group has hired PacWest. You remember them from the bear baiting. So it could get hip waiter deep here, you know, some of the misleading statements. So we need to hold them to the truth.
PacWest is doing so well in Alaska, they might just consider moving from Oregon to Anchorage.
They're very good at leading the voters down the wrong rabbit trail, so we need to watch out for misinformation.
There's a lot of misinformation out there already. That's right.
That's true.
Speaking of these front organizations put up by big industry, the second quarter profit reports just came out. We've had a field day with this on this show. ConocoPhillips reported a second quarter profit of $5.1 billion. British Petroleum announced a quarterly profit of $7.3 billion, and ExxonMobil came in second all-time to itself with a second quarter 2006 profit of $10.4 billion.
Right.
Should this make Alaskans think twice about the argument that they're going to have to, that the oil companies are being treated unfairly when we're talking about oil and gas taxes?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was
a lot of those profits come right out of Alaska.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, they've got they cry about declining production. They cry about increased regulation and increased taxes, but they're making money hand over fist while people across the country are paying in excess of $3 a gallon to fill up their tanks.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And higher rates.
I don't understand why anybody would be believing this line. That's, again, a rhetorical question. Okay.
Yeah.
How's the debate going in the second not-so-special session? I guess that would be a good place to start. We've talked to some folks down there in Juneau. The general consensus, if there is one, at least my impression, is that folks really do want to try earnestly to pass some kind of oil and gas tax legislation. We really are losing money. We really do need to restructure that. But that the gas line non-track, I got that word from Frank Amadori, by the way, and I love it. The non-tract is dead in the water. Do you think that's true? What are you getting from your colleagues in Juneau? Representative Curtula?
Well, I think that what Frank is saying is right, and particularly in the House. I saw the news last night, and you had the co-chair of finance saying, you know, we're just too far into the campaign season now, and that it just doesn't look like we're going to get a gas line through this administration. So I think that's right in the House. I also know that we have been trying very, very hard, and we came kind of close in the last special session in the House to reaching a compromise. Having said that, I feel particularly strong after the break of having a gross tax rather than having any kind of a profits tax, because of the, you know, concerns that go around how are you going to really measure that profit. If I had to have a profits tax on my, you know, self, I'd go spend every cent and say I don't have a profit, and that's just that simple. So, but we are working hard. We've been sitting in finance for hours and hours, and Representative Guerra, Representative Croft, and others are coming up with other ideas. So in the House, I think we'll probably wind up looking at all of those ideas and seeing where the consensus is. And I think it could be interesting. We might be able to get something out of the House, but I think Senator Ellis and his compatriots in the Senate are going to have a tougher job.
What's it looking like on the Senate side, Senator Ellis, especially as it relates to the gross, going to the gross instead of the net? That seems to be an idea that's actually gained some steam.
A little bit, but first on the gas line non-contract, my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, had a term that others have heard, dead as a doornail. There's a handful of Republicans, including Ben Stevens, who would vote for that contract. As much as of a giveaway and sellout as it is to the state's interest and the state constitution, there's a few of them that would actually vote for that at the urging of the governor and the oil company lobbyists. But for the most part, people have decided that it's just too, on the merits or demerits and on the politics, it's just untenable. So the governor's approach is dead as a doornail. On the oil tax, there, Senator Tom Wagner from Kenai, the chair of the Senate Resources Committee, introduced yesterday and was read across and referred to the super committee in the Senate looking at gas, oil and gas issues, a gross profits tax. It's a tax on the gross profits beginning at 15%, which is about where the ELF, the economic limit factor calculation, is now. It gives some credits for development exploration, but it's much more straightforward. I think it's an 11-page bill as opposed to the governor's multi-page legislation. Over in the House side, as Representative Curtula knows, Representative Hawker and Representative Samuels from Anchorage have come up with this proposal that we can't get to see the details in writing yet, but they have a concept that they would go with the governor's tax on net profits, but allow, it's, we call it the clawback, allowing the oil companies to pay down or buy down their tax rate based on the amount of investment they put in the state.
So you would have different tax rates.
Yes,
for
differential
different
levels of tax for different companies. And so that's an interesting approach that people are talking about, but it's still a net profits tax. That's still a chumps game. So there, and Senator Ben Stevens has said that a oil tax bill has to originate in the House. I don't know if he'll change his mind if we stay there much longer, but the House, you know, is divided between the people that would go with the governor's 2020 total ripoff. The folks that want this new investment approach of Samuels and Hawker, and then the Democrats who don't want to go with the chumps game and want to have a fair, straightforward, easily calculatable tax on the gross.
We got to take a short break here on the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Johnny Ellis in the studio with us today, and we've also got Representative Beth Curtula on the phone from her home in Juneau. If you've got a question or comment for your state legislators, give us a call, folks, at 929-5160.
Well, if you lived in Idaho and your friends and relatives came to visit, I guess you'd serve them potatoes, huh? I mean, that's what Idaho's famous for. But lucky for them and for you, you live in Alaska. So when friends and relatives come to visit, what do they want? They want what Alaska is famous for, giant Alaska king crab. And New Sagaya has it for you. Giant Alaska golden king crab, legs and claws, only the good stuff, $8.99 a pound. But at this low price, it'll be gone before the weekend's over. So don't disappoint your visitors by missing out. Here's some advice. Turn your car around, go right now, and head for the seafood department at New Sagaya and New Sagaya City Market. Another great buy in the fresh seafood department, whole, cleaned, and headed red salmon. We'll be happy to cut it into steaks or fillets for you, $4.99 a pound. At this price, get some for the freezer. Big, beautiful Harris Ranch New York steaks go wonderfully in the barbecue, especially at the New Sagaya and City Market price of just $9.99 a pound. Backyard barbecue this weekend. And in the produce department, sweet and juicy Temptation melons are special, 99 cents a pound. Want to know why they call them Temptation melons? Just get a taste and you'll get the picture. New Sagaya Midtown and City Market, 13th and I.
Does your old slow computer have you down? Then come on into Computer Renaissance and trade up during our trade-in trade-up event. At Computer Renaissance, we buy, sell, and even trade new and refurbished computer equipment. We even service systems right here in our store. So let's talk trade and get you into a computer with more RAM, a faster processor, or anything else you might want. The trade-in trade-up event at Computer Renaissance. We're all about computers.
Computer Renaissance in the Kings Row Shopping Center or in Wasilla on the Parks Highway.
Herb, my friend and I were at a party recently, and the host served some smoked salmon strips. He told me Alaska Sausage smoked it for him. I didn't even know Alaska Sausage could do that with my salmon.
Yes, our smoked salmon strips are an excellent product. It's ready to eat right out of the package, and it's great for snacking, camping, and entertaining.
Herb, Alaska Sausage made some lemon-peppered smoked salmon for us last year. That was wonderful. Do you have other flavors as well?
Yes, there's lots of options. People like our kippet salmon and our cold smoked salmon lox. and we can add special seasonings like Cajun and lemon pepper. But I also recommend smoking your halibut. It produces a moist product that is just wonderful.
Herb, we don't do much fishing, but I would love to send some outside for our friends. Can you do that for us?
Absolutely. We not only have gift packs of smoked salmon and halibut, we can also mix in any combination of our famous Alaskan sausage with reindeer meat, or maybe bratwurst for our spicy Louisiana hot things.
Alaska Sausage and Seafood is the place, 2914 Arctic Boulevard.
Just tell them Herb sent you.
Can you believe this weather? Looks like summer's arrived a little late, huh? But with the sunshine and warm soil, here's a great tip for you from Bell's Nurseries. This is the time to begin planting those things that'll need a good start to be beautiful next year. For instance, all the trees and shrubs in Bell's Big Nurseries are sale priced at 60% off this weekend. So, this weekend you can add real value and beauty to your home and save money at the same time. Plant them now, they'll have a great head start on next year. Plus, all remaining hanging baskets and annuals are 60% off too, so you can fill in any empty spots in your garden. The weekend gets off to a great start Thursday with a garden art show at Specking Road from 4 to 7 p.m. Meet the artists and admire their work. And on Saturday, remember that Jeff Lowenfeld's Garden Party radio program is broadcast from the Specking store from 10 to noon. Come watch Jeff do his thing. It's always a fun time. And while you're here, check out the gift shop. Lots of fall and holiday merchandise arriving daily. Better take a look to see if there's something you just can't resist. Bell's Nurseries on Specking Road off DeArmond, on Cranberry Road in Jewel Lake, and at DeArmond Greenery.
And welcome back. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. We've got Beth Gertula, Representative Beth Gertula, on the line from her home in Juneau, and in the studio with us, Senator Johnny Ellis, fresh off the plane from Juneau and the second not-so-special session. Our phone line, 929-5160, if you'd like to jump in on the conversation. We want to do a little promoting here. First of all, the Democrats have got their website up out there on the spooky internets. It's a series of tubes, JR.
Tubes.
It's out there.
It's not like a truck.
If you can manage, it's
you can't
not
just
a truck.
Dump stuff
you
into
can't
it.
Dump it all over no. there. You
tubes.
Just can't. It's tubes. So, folks, if you can manage to snake your way through the tubes and load up the website, it's www.akdemocrats.org. And on the website, you will find a link to the it's a podcast and the web stream of this show. It's something we haven't promoted yet because it's been in beta test for a while, but it works. It's out there. You can listen to this show on the internet, and a good place to find a link to that is www.akdemocrats.org. And Senator Ellis, there's a lot of other good stuff.
Absolutely,
on there as well.
We're archiving this show, and we started with Senator French and Aaron Selbig from last week. So you can go there, download from the archive, and put it in your iPod for your jog down the Tona Knowles Coastal Trail. But also there are links to send letters to the editor to publications all over the state. There's Senator Kim Elton's outstanding, truly outstanding electronic newsletter that gets the ire of the governor up all
I
the time
that
about
thing.
The debt. It's so terrific.
It's awesome.
He has about 1,100 subscribers all over the state now, and we need more. So you can click on almost every Democratic legislator's online newsletters, and we have every document that's been produced about the gas line proposal, about the oil tax change, all the consultants, oil industry folks, every bit of testimony and every bit of every document and study is there at akdemocrats.org. So if people really want to dive into the details, it's all available.
It's in the tubes.
Tubes.
It's right there in the tubes. All right, 929-5160. Let's go to the phones now to line one and Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Oh, hello.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
What's on your mind?
I'm really concerned about the polluting of our oceans, and this Proposition 2 I've been following, but I haven't been able to get a full answer to this pollution thing with the cruise ships. And I attended the Chamber of Commerce luncheon on last Monday, and I posed a question about the effluents from the cruise ships being dumped into the ocean in Southeastern. And I was told, the answer that I got was that that is not true, that they are not putting effluents and other pollutants into the ocean. Maybe Senator Ellis could answer that question, because I know he's really concerned about this too.
Well, I'm reading the official election pamphlet for the primary election that just I received in my mailbox today.
Oh, I haven't gotten mine yet.
Between the airport and the Aaron Selvig show, I checked out the mailbox. And for the statement in support, these are the folks pushing for ballot measure 2 to pass. Their second point is meet Alaska water quality standards. Alaskans need clean water and healthy fish. And the underlying portion says cruise ships are the only major polluters, in their opinion, not required to have a discharge permit and meet all Alaska water quality standards. Everyone else has a permit. You were talking about commercial fishermen and processors. No new permitting program is necessary. It's just bringing the cruise ships under the existing permitting. So there was a loophole there that they were not held to the same standards. So it goes on to say nearly every major cruise line has felony convictions for dumping, tampering with pollution control equipment, or falsifying documents to the Coast Guard. I believe that's in Alaska and in other jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
And some have better track records than others. And some of their advertising now talks about them having folks on board that environmental officers.
They show us their equipment for cleaning up all of their stuff there.
Let's give credit where credit's due. They do, I think, a significantly better job than they used to because we put the pressure on them. We required them to do a better job. It's still not quite, I think, what Barbara would require.
Thanks a lot, Barbara. We have to take a break here on the Aaron Selvig Show. We do have Representative Beth Kertula on the line from Juneau. Senator Johnny Ellis in the studio with us. If you'd like to jump in, 929-5160. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, this is a big, big week at Fine Flowers in Midtown next to Europa Bakery and Campobello Restaurant. And Sue and Rachel are celebrating Fine Flowers' 5th anniversary. Listen, if you don't have a florist you're 100% sold on, this is a great time to get acquainted with Fine Flowers. That's where my Rosie always sends me, always, because she says their arrangements are absolutely the best. Anyway, this week, Fine Flowers wants you to celebrate with us. So they're offering daily specials up to 50% off, daily drawings for gifts, and each purchase also gets a free gift. And each day they have free flowers to their early customers, plus they're giving you 10% off store-wide and all their great giftware and merchandise. Sure, it's a sale at Fine Flowers, but it's more. It's Fine Flowers' 5th birthday, and it's a party, a celebration, a veritable festival. They want to thank all their wonderful customers for their support, and they want to meet new people, too. So they've even extended their hours to include Sunday, noon to 4. Listen, stop by Fine Flowers today, get in on the fun, and I promise you, you'll meet the best florist in town. Fine Flowers, 601 West 36th Avenue, next to Europa Bakery, celebrating the 5th anniversary of this excellent family business. For the second year in a row, Holy Rosary Academy has been named one of the top 50 Catholic schools in the United States. Holy Rosary Primary School test results score 3.5 grades above the national average on California Achievement Test scores. That's 3.5 grades. So by the time they're ready for college, Holy Rosary students score an average of 200 points higher on their SAT scores. Think about that. Doesn't your child deserve the best education he or she can get? Learn more by calling Holy Rosary Academy, 276-5822.
And welcome back. We've just made a command decision here at the Aaron Selvig, Selvig Show. What's the name of the show again?
It's Friday.
I really ought to write it down. Senator Johnny Ellis has agreed to stick around with us a little bit after the bottom of the hour because we've got callers, we've got more things to talk about, and I really don't have anything here that's more important than what we're doing right now. Representative Kertula, would you be able to stick around with us a little while?
Sure.
Maybe 10, 12, 15 minutes, something like that.
Happy to.
Excellent. We've got a caller on the line now. Let's go to line 2 where we're joined by Pat. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Pat. What's on your mind?
Well, do you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Oh, it's 100 days before the election. It's when the Democrats are going to get real active in changing the outcome.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And this afternoon at the Democratic campaign headquarters, they are right now with hamburgers and hot dogs and I suspect root beer floats and a few of the odds and ends.
And miniature donkeys.
Miniature donkeys.
Is that really
miniature
true?
Miniature donkeys, but of course. But we are, those miniatures are going to kick ass, though. But excuse me for that one.
Oh, Lord.
but that is going on this afternoon, and I thought I would at least let that word get out that it's a great afternoon to go out there. A lot of good people. We'll probably meet maybe a future governor in that group, mm-hmm. And go for it from there.
What's the location, Pat?
Well, it's on West 25th, which is real close to Blueberry and Fireweed.
Right by Stellar School.
It's right by Stellar. It's right across Stellar, but it's about one block further away from Stellar, right close to the corner at Fireweed.
And that's going on right now. They really do. Senator Ellis, do they really have live donkeys there?
Absolutely.
You know, that's almost not fair, because I would imagine it would be easier to do that than for the Republicans to get elephants.
The live elephant. Would be a little bit of a problem.
Well, at least she'd get some exercise.
She might get some exercise, that's right.
At the Democratic picnic last week, which of course was about the same time as that minor one on the park trip, we had four miniature donkeys, and they were all dressed up with Democratic covers.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, that's going on right now. I understand. I did get some word about that before the show started. I understand that Diane Benson will be there. So if you folks are headed down there, make sure you keep your radios tuned to Kudo and head on down to West 25th over by Stellar School. You can meet Diane Benson and you can check out the donkeys. That sounds like a good time. All right, Senator Ellis and Representative Krutula are going to stick around with us on the other side. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks, Pat. Hi, I'm Aaron Selbig, and this is KUDO 1080 in Anchorage. Tune us in, keep us on, because without you, there is no KUDO.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch, making sure that fishing is around for future generations. I'll tell you how to add your voice after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by the At Sea Processors Association. The APA believes the best public policy is based on good science. Learn more at ATSEA.org.
Want to know the latest salmon prices from around the state or how Alaska seafood is faring in world markets? Find that and much more from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute at alaskaseafood.org. Coastal communities face an uncertain future as fisheries are rationalized, privatized, restructured, and competing in global markets. A September conference will offer strategies to make sure fishing is maintained as a vibrant cultural and economic sector throughout Alaska.
And the purpose of the conference is to bring together coastal residents in the state who are impacted by the fishing industry one way or the other. So that could be fishermen or seafood processors or related businesses, municipal governments, educators.
Sea Grant Marine Advisory Agent Paula Cullenberg is an event organizer along with many federal and state agencies and conservation groups. The gathering is a follow-up of last year's Managing Fisheries Empowering Communities Conference, and the focus again is on the future.
To be thinking about what kinds of things we can put in place as communities, what kinds of pre-planning we need to do now so that our next generation and the generations to come have this as an economic opportunity.
The conference is not academic or political. Cullenberg says municipalities, tribal groups, and fishing organizations will be asked to sponsor one or more people to attend.
We'd like to have a diverse mix of people, not necessarily the same people that come to all of the fisheries management meetings or other meetings.
The Harvesting the Future conference is September 21st and 22nd in Anchorage. Find out more and register at alaskaseagrant.org. Fish Radio is also brought to you by the Marine Conservation Alliance, promoting sustainable fisheries to feed the world. Catch past programs at marineconservationalliance.org. I'm Lainey Welch.
Mountain Mechanical's Winter Startup Special is a complete inspection of your residential heating system for just $39.95. Mountain Mechanical's friendly experts will make sure your heater is safe and working great for the upcoming heating season. Mountain Mechanical has been doing its $39.95 preseason checkups now for 10 years, and no other plumbing and heating company has ever come close to matching or beating our price. Why do you ask? Simple. They all know our commitment to providing reliable heat to the public for the best price possible. If gas goes over $5 per gallon, Mountain Mechanical will still be doing its winter startup special for $39.95. When the polar ice cap melts and Alaska needs air conditioning, Mountain Mechanical will be doing your preseason checkup on your air conditioner for $39.95. If you're wondering how much you paid for last year's checkup or the year before and you didn't use Mountain Mechanical, you can be absolutely sure you paid more than $39.95. Call 344-0700 to schedule your appointment. That's always on call. Mountain Mechanical, your plumbing and heating specialist, 344-0700.
Whoa, that ball is headed for center field. It's going to be a single, a double, a triple. No, it's a grand slam.
That's right. Allen & Peterson Cooking and Appliance Center has done it again. With grand slam savings going on now, you'll save on major name brand appliances, including dishwashers, refrigerators, ranges, washers, dryers, and barbecues. You'll catch 9 innings of Major League savings and score amazing prizes. While you're in Allen & Peterson, enter to win the Grand Slam Prize, a trip for two to the World Series. Plus, everyone is a winner with thousands of instant prizes. Just scratch off to win when you pick up an Allen & Peterson Grand Slam baseball card.
Now that really is a Grand Slam.
Going on now at Allen & Peterson Cooking and Appliance Center on the corner of Benson and Seward in Anchorage, in the Creekside Plaza in Wasilla, and next to Safeway and Kenai.
And there's still time to register to win a trip to Yankee Stadium as well. At Allen & Peterson, go in and register.
As the second series of statewide events, the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority will be conducting a public presentation and open hearing on an all-Alaska gas line project. The event is hosted by Mark Mayer Vegich and Governor Walter J. Hickel and will take place Monday, July 31st, 7 to 9 p.m. in the Anchorage Municipal Assembly Chambers of the Lusac Library. Following opening remarks, Project Manager Bill Walker will give a detailed presentation. This will be followed by public comments and questions.
.535 in the Anchorage Bowl. We're doing the merengue on the way home from work today. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Beth Curtula, our guests, have graciously agreed to stick around with us a little bit longer. I want to know about this material witness bill, I guess it's called. At the last moment, just the other day, Governor Murkowski added a couple of bills onto your plate as if you didn't have enough to do already. One of them is this material witness bill. Now, this made its way through the House and the Senate during the regular session. I believe it passed the Senate, but it didn't. It got hung up at the last minute, didn't go through. I must confess, I don't really know a lot about this bill and what it does. I know that there are some civil liberty concerns. Representative Curtula, you've worked with this on the House side. What does this bill say, and what are the civil liberty concerns involved with it?
The problem with the House version, the biggest problem I had, was that there was a dragnet provision in it so that if you had a crime that was committed, the police could enter any home that was, quote, you know, in the area. And that was just too broad for me. I mean, that's just too broad a power. And we tried to come to compromise, and I frankly am forgetting all the intricacies of exactly how it worked out. But Representative Berkowitz and I think most of the Democrats in the House voted against the bill, and we may have been joined by some Republicans as well who just had some real significant misgivings about how broad the language was. And, you know, when you've got language that is broad, you might win a case, but you'll lose it on appeal. I worked as a defense attorney for a long time, and, you know, you don't want to lose a case like that. So that was a problem out of the House. The Senate, I think, did significantly better, but then due to Senator Stevens's machinations at the last minute, it didn't get through. But I think it was a mistake to put it on the call. It's a significant issue. I'd like to see us come back and resolve it, which could probably be done fairly quickly next year. But to put it on the call when we're working as hard as we can to do the oil tax and look at gas line issues, that's just loading us up.
It does seem like it. Senator Ellis, it seems like, you know, whether this material witness bill stands on its own merit or not, and there's two different versions here, a House and a Senate version, it seems a bit reactionary. I'm not saying it's not, I haven't read it, I don't know a whole lot about it, but it seems like this is a reaction, for better or worse, to a growing gang problem in Anchorage and a violence in Anchorage, specifically the horrible shooting at the Anchorage football stadium. him a few weeks ago. I know that Mayor Begich wrote a letter to Governor Murkowski saying, hey, legislature's got, we got to do something about this. Anchorage needs help. We got a problem here that we all need to put our heads together and work on. I know that you voted for the Senate version in the regular session. What did that one say? What kind of compromise do you think might be able to come to here?
Well, Senator Hollis French, a former prosecutor here in Anchorage, and Senator Gretchen Guess are on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I, like Beth, some of the details escape us at the moment, but I believe the Senate version was superior to the House version, and
right.
I'm not sure if it was Liesl McGuire in the House Judiciary Committee. I'm not sure who would put the House-to-House search. You know, that would concern anyone, Republican or Democrat, or Democrats and maybe a few Republicans. So I don't believe that was the version that I supported, and the bill on the last night required a concurrence vote and reconciling the two versions. I believe Senator Con Bundy introduced the bill originally, not after the Anchorage football stadium disaster, but after the shooting at the Diamond Center that I believe was gang
right.
and drug related,
mm-hmm.
Because they just couldn't get the other young people to come forward and
right.
give testimony. And so, you know, there is a public interest in getting folks to step forward and convict the criminals, get the bad folks off the street with the guns, because innocent people are being put at risk in this community. So we need to, I agree with Beth, that we need to take a very careful look at that. If that's possible during the special session, it was a bad idea to expand the call, but if that's possible, we may come to some resolution. But we really do need to be careful in how we address this issue.
Right. Nobody wants the violence that's happening. And we all want to deal with the issue of being able to get the witnesses properly. The House version just got broadly expanded. I actually don't believe that was Representative McGuire. I think that she was concerned about the issue as much as we were. But as Senator Ellis is saying, you know, it's a thing we're all concerned about. But, you know, this is this is why we have a Constitution, is to be sure that we, you know, don't step on people's constitutional rights. I mean, you do not want to have people coming into your home willy-nilly, and this just went too broad, the House version, that is.
We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I want to throw something else out here real quick. Jim Whitaker from Fairbanks wrote a letter to the editor, I think it was, the other day about representatives in Juneau. He specifically pointed out Mike Hawker, Kevin Meyer, and Mike Chenault as having ties to the oil and gas industry. Kevin Meyer directly employed, I believe, by ConocoPhillips. And saying that these folks who are in Juneau, who are, you know, tied to, whether it's their spouses or themselves, to the oil and gas industry, should abstain from voting on oil and gas issues. Now, the other side of that is that we have in this state a citizen legislature that, for better or worse, that's just the way it is, and we don't usually, I think you're supposed to disclose if you have some kind of a conflict of interest, but we don't usually prevent people from voting on issues because of that. Senator Ellis, what do you think of all that? Is too much made of it? Is it like asking somebody who's a doctor to not vote on health care issues?
Well, you know, full disclosure is necessary, and Ben Stevens went through some things with APOC, not disclosing everything.
Mm-hmm.
The folks that you mentioned, I do believe, have fully disclosed their conflict, either their direct employment or their spouse's employment. So that's a minimal requirement on the part of the public. Those folks, in a citizen legislature, we never grant an exemption from voting. Because we're empowered by the voters who knew what our jobs were before they sent us to Juneau. But it would really, I would call on some of those folks you mentioned not to take a leadership role in promoting things that could be perceived as industry friendly legislation. I think that's maybe where you draw the line, not being the architect of some of these pieces of legislation and not using your leadership role of co-chair of finance to sort of steer the conversation and steer the debate and which legislation is considered. So I think they have a heightened obligation to really be fair and, you know, not sort of use their power that they've been given by the Republican majority to steer the legislation in a certain direction. That's the kind of balance that you can bring to the conversation.
You know, we've always done this since statehood. We've had this citizen legislature where our legislators are business people. They're doctors. They're commercial fishermen. They work in the oil and gas industry, and they're asked to go to Juneau for part of the year to, you know, well, it's not a volunteer. volunteer basis. I mean, you do get paid, but it's like a part-time job, basically. Right. Does that need to change? I mean, when we look at this last session with two not-so-special sessions, oh, I'm sorry, three not-so-special sessions in this legislature, I mean, it's getting to be almost a year-round job anyway. A lot is being asked of these folks. I know a lot of our legislators aren't too happy about being taken away, not just from their businesses, but from their families for so much of the year. Do we need to take a look at this and maybe make the legislature a full-time job?
Well, particularly for young women, young mothers. Senator Gretchen Guess is quitting because with two children, it's just going to be too much. Liesl McGuire said, you know, it's been very difficult for her going back and forth with the baby. Similarly, Mary Kapsner. And, you know, they're incredibly valuable people to have in the legislature. So I feel like there needs to be a bigger look at things like daycare and, appropriate housing. We need to do things like that. Juneau is the capital city, has, you know, made a lot of strides in trying to help. But I do think it's appropriate for us to take a look at legislators' roles and what, you know, the state deserves. And we need to have everyone's voice. You shouldn't be cutting out, you know, sections of the population because they simply can't afford or, now with families, it makes it very difficult to serve. It is public service, and we all know that when we get into it. But I think the public deserves a broad diversity and a broad voice. And toward that end, I do think that we need to, you know, watch and make some changes so that everyone can serve.
Representative Beth Gertula, it's time. We got to get out of here. I want to thank you again for taking time out of your schedule to join us today. We had a good time. It was sure was a pleasure talking
to you. Thank you for considering the issues. And, if anyone has questions, they're welcome to call my office in Juneau.
Why don't you throw out the phone number real quick? Can you do
that? It's 907-465-4766.
Very good. Thanks
again.
Thank you,
Beth. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you, John.
Senator Johnny Ellis, always a pleasure to have you back in here. We'll see you next Friday.
Absolutely.
Awesome. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on KUDO 1080 AM. We will be back on the other side of a short break.